Well, hello everyone. I am really excited to be here today, especially because, full disclosure, it was meant to be Dan up here preaching, but there was a change in plans because he's really unwell. Like, he was asleep on the couch for most of this afternoon. But over the past few weeks, I felt like I was kind of preparing for the sermon regardless, because he was processing his thoughts with me on this passage. And in the process, God had really been convicting my own heart of the message that was kind of chipping away at some of the worry and the anxiety that I didn't realize I had. And so I put my hand up to do this sermon, which is pretty uncharacteristic of me, but I believe that the reason I'm here today isn't just because Dan is sick, but because God has a message for me and for you. So let's pray into that as we seek his voice together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through your word, we can know you more and know your heart for us, that we are chosen by you. Each person in this building is chosen to be here, to hear you. And we thank you that you are our peace. And we just lean into this peace as we listen to your word together. I pray that what comes out of today would be helpful and true, and that that's what would stick in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as a student when I was in high school, I had pretty high standards for myself. I'd call myself the overachiever. This is not a brag, I was consistently in the top two or three in my class, represented the South Island of New Zealand in badminton, that's where I did high school, worked my way to a diploma in piano, which I actually really disliked the process of, set really high expectations for myself, and as a result, I became a pretty anxious and insecure person. Because the thing about having high standards is, I don't know if any of you relate, but it means that you're constantly evaluating how well you're doing. You walk into the room and you're also kind of evaluating, how are they doing? My self-expectations led me to comparing myself to others' wins and then beating myself up if I didn't feel like I didn't reach those standards. And this comparison made me perpetually worried about what others thought of me. I had this insecurity that became like a niggling voice, always sitting on my shoulder. I had this picture of like the angel-devil moments. It's usually pretty funny in a cartoon. You hear like the little squeaky voices as the angels on one side and the devils on the other. The thing is, right, these insecurities that played in my mind, they weren't just contained to high school. They followed me throughout uni and then into the process of job hunting. And then even now, sometimes as a mum, I still hear that voice saying, you're not good enough. Now, sometimes the voice of comparison and insecurity sitting on my shoulder, that little devil, it's loud. And then other days, it's more quiet and I can feel this peace, this contentment with where I'm at in life. And you know what? I know for a fact that I'm not alone in feeling this wave of insecurity at times. I'm not the only one here who feels a need for more peace. How do I know this? Because we are a generation who are most commonly characterized by anxiety. We see news headlines often describing this generation as being the most anxious generation. There are many possible reasons for the lack of peace in our lives. There's the academic pressures, there's family or friendship breakdowns, an ongoing temptation to compare ourselves due to social media. There's daily news headlines that are pretty worrying, reminding us of the groanings of this world. And not to mention, can you guys believe it was 5 years ago we were living through a global pandemic that we get to tell our kids when you never got to leave your home, you're seeing people on the screen, like that is a big cause of a lack of peace in our lives. So I was saying before how my experience of lacking peace feels like that voice, that little devil on the shoulder. Now I wonder what that voice sounds like for you, where you currently are experiencing a lack of peace. Maybe you resonate with my story where the loudest voice for you is your own expectations of yourself. Or maybe you experience fear of the future, fear of uncertainty. And maybe the voice sounds more like anger to you, like there's this resentment or rage in you that you can't always explain. As a mum currently navigating life with a 2.5-year-old, I can say this voice is also sometimes very loud to me. Now, the passage we're looking at today illustrates how central the need for peace is to all of humanity. It's innate in us. There's a search for peace, but there's also the ebb and flow of unrest, worry, anxiety, insecurity, which exists in all of us. And I think acknowledging this like dilemma that we have is the starting point to then knowing who Jesus is and his relevance for us today. So we're looking at a passage from Ephesians, which is in the New Testament, which is originally written in which language? Greek. Very brave to call that out. The New Testament was written in Greek, but I want to look at the Hebrew word of peace. I was going to ask if anyone knew, but shalom, because I feel like everyone's watched The Chosen, so you would have known the answer anyway. You can, I'm just kidding. You were right on point. So shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. And like most Hebrew words, there's not just one clear-cut definition, but the idea of shalom is completeness, wholeness. In Job 5:24, up there on the screen, we see the word shalom is used in talking about Job not having any of his possessions missing. You'll know that your tent is secure. You'll take stock of your property and find nothing missing. That word secure is translating the word shalom, peace. So we see that here, this concept of shalom, it's intertwined with security, feeling like there's no lack. Shalom isn't just used in the context of material security, though. It's also used in the context of well-being. Now, I have a social work background, so I find this super interesting, that shalom is multidimensional. It's talking about our mental, spiritual, emotional state. It's about all of life being in alignment with the original wholeness that God created and intended for us. You can think of the Garden of Eden, where there was abundance, safety, security. A lack of shalom is any state of brokenness where things are not as they should be. Now, I think this word shalom is pretty significant for us because if you love books and movies, we can think of the overarching plot line, the grand narrative of God's story for us in the Bible, as being his mission to restore what's broken to wholeness. God's central mission is to restore what's broken to wholeness, to shalom. And he does this, spoiler alert, through his son, Jesus. Shalom, this Hebrew definition of peace as wholeness, completeness, security, it's the reason we're here. It's the core message of the gospel. Coming back to today's passage, we see that Jesus himself is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Through Jesus, those who were far from him, which was once all of us, have been brought near. And this is the definition of true peace, that we are brought near to him. True peace is nearness to Jesus. Peace is not about getting the marks you hoped for, although for any of the year 12s who are with us today, I hope that you got to celebrate on the day that you got your results. Peace is not about achieving the dreams we set for ourselves, ticking off those bucket list goals. Peace is not a clean life where we never feel sad, never feel worried, always feeling calm and like Zen. True peace is actually being near to Jesus. And he made shalom by restoring a broken relationship between humans, between us and himself. So he brings us near to himself, who is the Prince of Peace. Now, because of the peace made between God and us, him bringing us near, we get to live as his dwelling place. We hear this truth all the time and we speak it. We've spoke it earlier in our service. His spirit is with us. And in fact, his spirit lives in us. Jesus not only closed the gap between us by coming to earth in human form, he left us with his very own spirit so that you and I have 24/7 access to him. And I think it's important to actually pause on this truth because the fact that his spirit is in us, it can feel like a warm, fuzzy thought. But let's pause for a second and actually think about what that means practically. If you believe Jesus is Lord and Savior, you have his spirit living in you. The thing is, even though we have God's Spirit in us, there are still those pesky voices that I mentioned at the start. There's that devil and angel kind of picture. And actually, I'm going to bring up a better image that I think depicts this kind of battle of the mind, if you will. Now, for any of... Definitely... Oh, that's a spoiler alert. Sorry, I just took, like, internalize some of my thoughts. But actually, let's jump to the slide. This is God's message anyway. Has anyone watched the movie? Yes. Good, that's the correct answer. For those who might be re-listening to the sermon, this is Inside Out on the screen, and we have five cute little coloured people. If you haven't watched the movie, prepare some tissues first if you do want to watch it. And I'm going to try not... Yeah, I don't think I spoil anything. Basically, these five characters, they represent different emotions. And where you see them right now is in the control panel of someone's mind. So this is a kids' movie technically, but it goes really deep into what's going on in our minds as we process the world and react to situations. So if you see the middle, there's joy, and then there's disgust, anger, fear, and sadness. That's the first movie, and I won't spoil the second movie. I also rate that one. And essentially, whoever's at the, whichever emotion is at the control panel, kind of like dictates or shapes how the protagonist feels and responds to situations. Now, obviously, this is not science nor Bible, but you might be able to see where I'm kind of going with this. Just as God desires closeness with us by giving us His Spirit to dwell in us, while we're waiting for Jesus' return, we will keep encountering other voices that aren't His. There are voices of division, hostility, anxiety, depression, jealousy, hopelessness. I'm sure you can keep naming all these things that aren't part of shalom, the peace that God had intended for us. And so while, as believers, we do have Jesus' Spirit in us, His peace within us, there will always be this chaos and this noise that competes for our attention. There are other distractions taking over the control panel in our minds. And from my experience, it can be really tempting to want to fix the control panel by ourselves in our own ways. For me, there were years where I tried to sort of counter my insecurity by doing a ton of half marathons, running long distances almost every day while undernourishing myself. And don't get me wrong, I don't have anything against running, but for me, running had turned into an unhealthy coping mechanism for the hard emotions that I didn't know how to deal with at the time. I felt compelled to look for shalom elsewhere, outside of Jesus, not just in running, but in my grades, in trying to win people's approval, in staying in unhealthy relationships. I believe the temptation to look for shalom outside of Jesus is common to all of us. We're told in scripture that the devil is like a lion looking for someone to devour. But he's crafty and he often uses seemingly good things to turn our eyes away from God. We're encouraged in scripture to also renew our minds and to keep thinking about what is true, what is good. There's the whole list. The things that we know are actually shalom, God's intentions for us. And now just imagine that in the areas that came up maybe as I was speaking earlier, those areas where you're feeling a lack of shalom right now in your life, imagine that lack of peace gets replaced by the presence of God's Spirit, His Spirit of truth, sitting in that center of the control panel. What would that mean for your emotional and mental health, for God's Spirit to be the one navigating your control panel? What would it mean for your relationships? How you experience each day? And more importantly, what does it take for this to become a reality for us? That we don't just settle with thoughts that oppose God's shalom, letting them come and go or trying to resolve them on our own, but actually trying to letting Him rewire our thoughts so that His peace invades that control center. I want to suggest that receiving this shalom is both easier and more complex than we think. In one sense, it's easy because the answer is kind of in there, that Jesus has done all of the necessary pre-work for us to live in shalom. He's bridged the gap and then repaired the distance that once sat between him and humanity. Shalom was costly for Jesus, but free for us. What can feel complex about living in shalom is how to live like the gospel is actually true, like all the time, even when things get hard. So let's try and simplify this, giving sort of a practical roadmap towards shalom. And I'm going to leave you with a two-step encouragement that's not a miracle cure, but a starting point to draw near to Jesus and experience that peace in us. Step one is, whenever you notice a control panel in your mind getting noisy or crowded, to pause and then to pray. Talk to Jesus because he wants nearness with you. He's paid for it already. He gave you his spirit so that you can have nearness. Pause in the moments it gets noisy, when that devil is sitting on your shoulder or fear or anxiety has spent too long at the control panel. And just say in your mind or out loud or write it out what you're feeling or thinking to Jesus. And if you're not sure what you're feeling, say that to him. Or maybe you're visual, paint it, draw it, sing it, walk it out, go for a run. Sometimes that's actually where I hear God the loudest. So that's the first step, to pause and to pray when we feel a lack of shalom. The second step is just as important, but I'm prone to remember, and I think all of us are, which is to actually wait for a response, like have a conversation. After you've paused and allowed yourself to take a moment to turn to him, wait to see if anything new comes to mind. Is it a thought, an image, a Bible verse, a memory, or maybe just a change in how you're feeling? You might not notice something every time, but I assure you that if you take those extra few seconds to wait on his response after talking to him, you'll start to be surprised. So step one, pause and pray. Step two, wait for God's response. And we know that Jesus doesn't promise all of our problems to be fixed, especially not always in the timing or the ways that we hope for. And a lot of the things that have come to your mind as I've been speaking, they're complex. Like, I know at least someone's like, Joyce, you don't know my lack of shalom. But I feel God's grief that you have to go through that lack of shalom. Jesus doesn't promise a fix immediately or even in this lifetime, but he does promise himself as our peace, because true peace is nearness to Jesus. Letting his spirit direct that control panel in our mind. In all honesty, coming up here to do a sermon pretty last minute would have once really daunted me. Even though I was amongst the top students in my class, in my school even back then, I just wouldn't have believed I had anything to say, like any authority to speak on a stage. But the reason that I can speak today, and I feel so different from that person that I was in high school, heavy with the weight of expectation, is that even though insecurity can still come up for me, the voice of Jesus through his spirit who lives in me and in you has grown louder the more I choose to draw near to him. When I'm feeling anxious now, when my to-do list is piling up, if I turn to him, because some days I don't, but if I turn to him and pause and hear what he has to say or what he wants to show me, it actually changes my mood for the entire day. And it's better for Levi and Dan too. God reminds me that I'm not alone, that I wasn't created to bear this weight that I can feel. And his spirit of truth helps me remember who I am, who he is. And I want that for you too. I want that for all of us, this shalom, the state of living where we are so convinced of our security in him that any voice apart from his is more like a faint noise in the distance than a ringing bell that it can sometimes be. I'm convinced that as each of us draws nearer to Jesus and we make that daily choice to draw near, especially when it's hard, we would begin to see healing in the places that hurt, forgiveness where there's bitterness, a freedom to show up in community without fear or insecurity, and that we'd have even more love to turn our eyes outwards to a world that is hurting. And you know what, guys? As I was writing this part, I was thinking, It's amazing that God's already shaping us to be a community, a dwelling place like we just read in Ephesians, where I believe shalom is tangible and felt. I mean, we have a physical rebuilding, like brokenness coming into restoration and newness in our building. And maybe that's something we can continue to think about over these holidays, that God is doing a work of restoration, and he's always been doing a work of restoration to bring us to shalom. Let's pray into that together now as the band comes up. And I have a request that I didn't run past you guys, so feel free to veto it. But can we do the song that, I think it's King of Glory, the last song of the first set again? You can just replace that. Cool. Let's pray. God, I thank you that in you there is freedom and joy, security, this picture of abundance that you've shown us through the Garden of Eden. I thank you that you are doing a work of restoration in each of us and also in the world around us. I pray that when the control panels in our mind gets loud and just confusing sometimes, that rather than shutting down or avoiding or trying to do things our way, that we would be able to hear your voice, Jesus, and Holy Spirit who's in us. Help us to remember you in our days, to pause and to surrender all of our worries to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.